Sometimes I like to think about our scriptures and the stories that aren't told in them. For example, I have this imagination moment with Jesus when he's maybe 6 years old. I can only imagine him at about 6 years old. Mary and Joseph just sent him off for his first year of school. He got his new sandals, his little leather tote bag. They probably even marked his height on the doorpost. Mary wiped away a tear as he trotted off with his friends to go to school. He's maybe been at school for about a week. Maybe a week or so, and suddenly it's his turn. It's finally his turn. He runs home and begins looking through his room. What should he take? He's frantically looking around the house when Mary finally asks him, why is he so excited? And he yells across the house, it's my turn! It's my turn! Your turn for what? She asks. Show and tell! Do you remember the joy of show and tell? Or if you're more of an introvert, do you remember the anxiety of show and tell? You get to pick something out, anything you want, and bring it in and share it with your class and tell them about it. For those special moments, whatever is so special to you becomes special for the whole room of people. In my imagination, as he's searching through the house, Jesus pulls out an old dusty box that's been under his bed. And he opens it up, and a strong smell begins to permeate the room. His mother in the next room over begins to smell it and knows exactly what he's opened up. He brings out this box, sets it down, and asks his mom if he can take it with him. He also asks her to tell him the story again. And so she tells him a story that goes something like this. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the territory of Judea during the rule of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. And they asked, where is the newborn king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and we have come to honor him. When King Herod heard this, he was troubled and everyone in Jerusalem was troubled with him. He gathered all of the chief priests and the legal experts and asked them where this Christ was to be born. And they said, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what the prophet wrote. You, Bethlehem, land of Judah, by no means are least among those in Judah, because from you will come one who governs, who will shepherd my people called Israel. Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and found out from them the time when the star first appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search carefully for the child. When you found him, report back to me so that I may go and honor him. Yeah, that's it. When they had heard the king, they went, and look, the star they'd seen in the east went ahead of them until it stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother. They fell to his knees and honored him, and they opened their treasure chests and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. After Mary tells Jesus the story once again, he pulls the frankincense and the myrrh out of that box. I assume that Mary and Joe put the gold into an interest-yielding account of some kind. College, people, it's important. But as he pulls out that frankincense and that myrrh, he thinks about what it'll be to tell his friends at school all about these special things, these treasures of his. Today is Epiphany, a day we celebrate and remember the arrival of the Magi to visit little Jesus. Now, I say little Jesus because he actually was probably around 2 years old when the Magi visited. Don't let the nativity set throw you off. You see, you got the Magi right here. Mary's holding a baby and the shepherds and the angel. They're all here at the same time. That's how it is at my nativity set, maybe in yours. It's what's on the Hallmark card. But don't let that throw you off. They came. They found. And here is Mary and the child. See, today we're transitioning from Christmas as the 12 days of Christmas find their end tomorrow. But though we transition from Christmas, the spirit of meaning of Christmas are to carry on. That's why I love that hymn we just sang. That each verse asking us, okay, well, when this part ends, how do we carry forward this beautiful gift and beautiful season that matters so much? The spirit and the meaning of Christmas carry on. They don't find their end. They carry on in the life of Jesus, and if we are willing, they will carry on in our lives too. In fact, one of the reasons that I appreciate that two-year period between the star and the manger, between the arrival of Jesus as a baby and the arrival of the Magi at his door, I love that there's some time there. It's a reminder to all of us that the journey to embody hope and peace and love and joy, the journey to live the gift of Christmas, takes time. It doesn't just happen. And it is worth working for. Another reminder the Magi offer us is that the invitation to grow in relationship begins with sharing. We often associate the Magi with gift giving, and they're a part of the Christmas gift giving tradition. But their arrival and their offering to Jesus was not about wish lists or materialism or consumer culture. It was about honest, relational sharing. Their gifts tell us more about what they were all about. The gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. The naming of these three gifts in the scripture is why we often assume there were three magi, or three kings, or three wise men, whatever term might be used. The Bible never tells us how many. The song does, but I promise the Bible was written before the song. The gold, the frankincense, the myrrh, these are deeply symbolic gifts, and whether they were actually given to the young Jesus, or if the author of Matthew chose to add these details to help carry extra meaning for us, the message is the same. The magi had ideas about Jesus. The Magi's knew what relationship with him could be. The three gifts are very intentional references to his prophesied coming. One of the biblical resources I was looking at for the scripture this day puts it this way. In addition to the honor and status implied by the value of the gifts of the Magi, scholars think that these three were chosen for their special spiritual symbolism about Jesus himself. Gold represents his kingship, frankincense a symbol of his priestly role, and myrrh a foreshadowing of his death and embalming. You see, in their gifts, in their sharing with Jesus, there is a recognition and an honoring of who Jesus is and who Jesus will become. In their sharing, the Magi were seeking to honor the life and the life story of Jesus. And what I want to consider throughout the next several weeks is that when any of us share who we are honoring the story God is telling with our lives. For just as Jesus has a story through which God speaks, each and every one of us, God is telling the world something through our lives. And when we share our lives with one another, we are sharing God's story with the world. I mean, right now, if there were three sage-like gurus on their way to visit you with gifts, they were going to bring some symbols and tokens that symbolize your life story, what would they be bringing? Maybe they'd show up with a symbol of compassion, some big red heart you could wear. Or perhaps a symbol of your bravery with a heroic medal. Or wait, those are the endings of The Wizard of Oz. My mind goes to those examples because it's actually pretty hard to think about something about our own lives. What's a symbol of my life and my gifts and who I am? What helps the world know who God has called me to be? That's a pretty big question. It's a very difficult question to ask because to answer it, we must know ourselves well enough to know what on earth to symbolize. You know, there's actually some great debate among scholars to if Jesus knew his entire life's fate from his very beginnings and earliest age. Personally, I don't think he did. Maybe I just hope he didn't, because it makes him much more relatable to know that he lived his life day to day like each and every one of us. I wonder what it would have been like for an unassuming Jesus to receive these gifts, or to hear the story told, and then wonder what on earth these things meant. Why did they bring me frankincense and myrrh? What's that all about? You see, sometimes the symbols that speak to our lives are already present. Whether they're physical objects, their passions or interests, or maybe a hobby, sometimes the symbol of who we really are and all that God calls us to is already present in our lives. We just don't know it, or understand it, or see it yet. This is actually a practice I discovered while in seminary. We had a small group that helped us learn more about ourselves and our calling. We were asked as a part of this group to bring in something we deeply loved, something we had really good energy for, right? No matter what was going on, if this was an opportunity or something, I got really excited about it. So I brought in Apple, not the fruit, the technology company. I'm a freak when it comes to Apple products. I admit that. But I shared with this group why I loved the company, why I loved working there where I did at the time, how I enjoyed teaching people to use their products, and why I'm always playing with the newest stuff they make. And I got to spend some time sharing, I don't know, 15 minutes, telling them about it. And then after my sharing, my small group was asked to reflect on what they heard me say. I still remember some of the phrases they used. Brad likes taking complex things and trying to make them accessible for people. Brad likes people helping people to get more out of what they already have. Brad loves discovering new things. Whoa, that's me. I hadn't realized it. That's me. See, for as equally as long as I had shared, my group shared back with me what they had heard. My show and tell about something I thought was just fun and enjoyable became a show and tell about me, and then a chance to listen to what my own life was saying. It was in this process that I discovered that sharing with others really is a beautiful opportunity to validate who we are. It also allows us to hear ourselves told back. The comments they offered are very true things about me that I'd never been able to articulate that way before. But the symbols, the ideas of it were already there. I guess maybe someone's bringing me a new iPhone. Well, you know, if they're going to show up at the door, I don't need gold or frankincense, but anyway. You see, the comments they offered me were very true things. The other amazing part of this sharing experience was that I found my relationships with the people in this group were deeply strengthened. Because suddenly they knew me better. And suddenly I realized that they were helping me know myself better. And then the next week one of them shared and I got to know them. And the relationships were building. They'd taken time and were interested in me, and I got to do the same for them. They'd offered me a gift by allowing me to share. They didn't need to bring anything, but they offered me wisdom and validation and relationship. Much like Christmas isn't just a day, Epiphany is also a season. We will celebrate Epiphany for the next 5 weeks. During these weeks, I'd like your help. I would like your help in doing some sharing. You see, over the last month or so, maybe a couple months now, I've had this idea. It's really a rough draft of an idea, a sketch, if you will, that's been in my mind. I've got this idea for a church-wide activity, an experiment, really, that we could all do together. I envision a little tag where each of us write our name and our contact info and something we love. Could be a hobby. Could be a trip we once took, could be a favorite book series, a job that we have, or a job we used to have that we still think fondly of. Something that gets us excited about life. We write those things on this tag, and we put this tag on a big board. This big board is also where we get to walk up and look and see what other people have shared and take a tag off that we find interesting. Someone who could share what they love with us. Maybe on the board over here is Paul Brekus's love of vinyl records. He does more than bikes, people. Or maybe over here is Karen Nielsen's love of flowers and her garden. Maybe over here is Grace Chisholm's love of beekeeping. Or maybe Riley Smith's interest in Minecraft. Someone in this congregation loves something you've always wanted to know more about. Or conversely, someone in this congregation who you've always wanted to get to know better loves something they're willing to share with you. See, the idea would be that when you find a tag you're interested in, you contact that person, you schedule a time to, I don't know, get together over coffee or just to talk, and they give you the gift of who they are, and you give them the gift of listening. They're not teaching you. Like if it says sewing, they're not going to teach you cross-stitch. They're going to share with you why they love it and maybe show you some of the projects that they've done. Or maybe if it was photography, they're not going to give you tips on how to work your camera. They're going to show you the photos they took on a favorite vacation. They're not going to play with Legos with you, but they'll show you their favorite creation and talk about the art of interconnected plastic blocks. If we do this, if we can create the time in the intention to connect and share with each other, we will also be creating deeper relationships. We will know one another better. You'll meet new people, and there are new people to meet. You will also know yourself better. So if you would like to help me launch this idea into something real, I'd like you to please come talk to me. We need a team of like 4 or 5 folks that help make this happen. And I'd like one of you, actually 4 of you, to help be those people. And next week, it's my goal to have something to tell you. Yes, fast turnaround time, people. But I think this is a season for us, an opportunity to realize that we have a gift to offer in who we are and in the listening. Next week, I want us to have something to talk about and maybe get going with so that we can begin this experiment to share what we love. So I want you to start thinking. Think about your life. Think about what you love, because everyone has something to offer. Amen.